Let's take our Bibles and look together in one scripture, Romans chapter 8 and verse 26.
Kadenzi tafuleni mabiblo athi lerikali nusu mot chave. Mungu la Roma chapter 8 nimanga 26.
I've entitled this message, The Help of the Spirit in Our Infirmities. Here in Romans 8 and verse 26, we read, Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
In Matthew 26, Yaloma chapter 8, Imanena 14, Dipo Momomoso, Zimu, Atandisa, Ufogawa, two. Babuti, Chibene, Tisipemba, Monga, Chienera, Sitiziwa.
So in this scripture, we're going to consider the inner workings of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of God's elect that Christ has redeemed. You'll notice that the verse begins with likewise. This is very important. When we see the word likewise, that tells us that it is in connection with what has gone before. And in this passage, particularly in Romans 8, Paul is describing primarily the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of those for whom Christ paid their sin
debt.
All the way back in the first verse of chapter 8, we read, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation for those for whom Christ has paid their sin debt at the cross. And when it says they don't walk after the flesh, that means that they're not approaching unto God through fleshly means. But after the Spirit, in other words, it's the Spirit that reveals Christ in the heart and draws the hearts of those sinners to Christ. So all the way through here, we see where the work of the Spirit of God directing God's children is revealed.
So abatubona mzimoela akukira nchito yo kavumburuza Kristu mkati mwa mitima yathu osangidwa.
For example, in verse 14, we read, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Verse 14,
And again in verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We could not know God nor be drawn to Him through His Son except by the Spirit of God. But even as he continues to write that under the curse of this world, in this body, in our flesh, all of creation groans for that deliverance that one day will be brought about when the Lord comes again and this entire world is done away. Even though we know that Christ has paid our sin debt and the Spirit of God testifies that to our spirit, yet we still live in this flesh with much infirmity. In verse 22 of Romans 8, we read, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And he continues in verse 23, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, here it is, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Are there not times, and I would say perhaps most of the time, that we feel the weight of what it is to live in a fallen flesh, and many times even to the point of asking, am I the Lord's or am I not? But salvation is not based on how we feel, but rather upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as Paul says in verse 24, we are saved by hope. That is Christ, our hope. And he goes on, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ with my physical eyes. I've never seen whether or not my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I I was not there when the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life. And yet I have this hope, not having yet seen, that's why it's hope, that all that is revealed concerning Christ here in this word is true. So even though this flesh may fail me, and even though I feel the weight of my sin through trials and temptations, yet my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that's why in verse 25 of my text, Romans 8, Paul says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we what? With patience wait for it. Now, here we see the connection then with verse 25 and 26, because 26 says, now likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. None of us could have a true hope were it not for the Spirit of God giving us that hope. And none of us could with patience continue to persevere looking to a Christ that we have not yet seen and yet hoping with a true hope in that Christ and what he's accomplished for a sinner such as we are. So in this message, I want us to consider just two points concerning the work of the Spirit and how he helps the children of God in their infirmities. And then the next time, Lord willing, we'll come back to this very scripture and look at two more aspects of how the Spirit helps with our infirmities. And here's where we see the great work of the covenant God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit working in harmony for the salvation of God's children. The Spirit of God never works independently of what God the Father has purposed and what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. The three are one. So even in our infirmities, where the Spirit helps in those infirmities, it is always in connection with God's purpose to save and keep his children that he has given to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has paid their sin debt.
mukufoka kwathu Kristu anakwanisa muchifuno chake kudzera muchimene Mulungu adasankha ndi kukonza kuthupira tulino kuti chikakwaniritsidwe.
So the first thing that we see here in this scripture is that apart from the Spirit of God helping us, we would most certainly fail. Such are our infirmities in this flesh, this fallen flesh, that apart from the Spirit of God, we could not even know God, nor come to Christ. Such is our unbelief, which is a great infirmity, that apart from the Spirit of God giving us faith, we could not believe. It's not as modern preachers are telling people that if you'll just come to Jesus, then he'll do the rest for you. You take the first step and then he'll do the rest. That's not it. We couldn't even take a first step. There's some that preach as if God has put salvation out there in a pile, and whoever comes to it and takes of it, then they can be saved. But they have to do the receiving. But this word infirmities here in verse 26 is such a strong word that it describes us as being completely helpless and hopeless, unable to do anything apart from the Spirit of God upholding and strengthening us to do what God has purposed. There's some that boast of being able to pray and say, well, at least I know how to pray. Here it says, we know not what we should pray as we ought. Left to ourselves. I wonder if we think about that, even as we gather here, and someone says, well, I'm going to ask Brother Austin to pray. Do we realize that we are unable even to utter words to God unless the Spirit of God strengthen and give us those words? In fact, what I read here is that the most prevalent prayers that we ever utter unto God will never be expressed in words. True prayer is not necessarily what comes out of the mouth, but what comes out of the heart.
Yes.
How many times have we been burdened, even for our own selves or someone else, and we don't know how to pray as we ought, and yet here it describes these as groanings which cannot be uttered. If you were to ask me, sometimes, at least according to how man sums things up, how much I have prayed during the day, I'd have to tell you I hadn't prayed at all. Again, the infirmities of this flesh are such that my mind and heart are so feeble, and my thoughts are so scattered, and my mind so wandering, that I can't even utter a word. Yes, we have the promise of Scripture to come under the throne of grace, to find grace and mercy to help in time of need. But oh, how we could not approach were it not for the Spirit of God drawing us in our heart. But I'm thankful, even as it says here in Romans 8 and verse 26 of my text, that when we cannot pray, not knowing how to pray as we ought, it is the Spirit that makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. You see, there are times when God, by His purpose, will bring us so low that we don't even know how that we can even express the thoughts of our heart. But how blessed to know that God never abandons His own, and that His Spirit is ever with those that He has chosen in Christ redeemed. And it is the Spirit that upholds and sustains us in our greatest moments of weakness. It may be nothing more than a moan or a groan in my spirit that the Spirit takes to the throne of grace, interceding on my behalf. Think about Job. He was certainly the Lord's, and even expressed that he knew that his Redeemer lived, and yet he was brought so low that he even expressed, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." As much as we know in our heads about God's sovereignty and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we are justified before God, yet in our flesh we are weak. How many are those times when we can't even seem to find Christ in our hearts? There are times where we might even open our mouth to express words, to seek to pray unto God, and yet words fail us. We cannot even rest in the best of our supposed prayers, because apart from the Spirit of God, we could not even express our need unto God. So we can see here in this first point how it is that we cannot even pray without the Spirit of God. We could not believe without the Spirit of God. We could not persevere in the faith apart from the Spirit of God. And this is not only true from time to time, but all the time throughout our entire pilgrimage here in this flesh. We need the Spirit of God to be our helper. The Spirit is that breath, that spiritual breath that He gives us. Just like we could not live without physical breath, so we cannot live without the spiritual breath. I actually prefer to hear somebody tell me honestly and sincerely that they cannot pray or don't know how to pray. To me, that person is a brother, versus some self-righteous religious person that's trying to explain to me how they have such a beautiful prayer life. I can't tell you over the years how the Lord has brought different ones my way, and they've sat down with me and in tears have expressed their grief over not being able to know how to pray. And for me to be able to tell them, I understand, because such is my case. And As the disciples walked with the Lord Jesus Christ and observed how it was that he prayed, you remember, that's what prompted them to ask of him, Lord, teach us to pray. Not just give us the words, but to pray. How is it we can truly pray even as our Lord Jesus Christ? Our Lord Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And yet, as a man, how many times do we find him in Scripture wrestling with his Father in prayer? I don't mean in the sense of wrestling against him, but seeking his Father's favor in prayer throughout the night. We know how he prayed in the garden before he went to the cross, that God's will be done as he faced the prospect of bearing the sin, he who knew no sin, bearing the sin of that people that the Father had given him. But even the Spirit that was given him without measure sustained him in his earthly life as our representative. And it's because of his faithful intercession in his life, in his death, as he cried unto the Father from the cross, and in his resurrection and ascension. That is what is our hope in salvation. I believe that Psalm 130 and verse 1 is a description of what our Lord would have endured in his intercession as a man, praying unto his Father.
130 verse 1, right?
Yes, Psalm 130 verse 1. It says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. These would have been the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in his humiliation as a man, as he came to pay the sin debt of his people.
And
so he would have prayed, verse 2, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. So let us remember that when we are in the depths of trouble and don't know how to pray, we have this hope that it is the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ that strengthens us. As it goes on in verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Had the Lord Jesus Christ not come and taken the place of sinners such as we are, there's none that could stand. But our Lord Jesus Christ cried unto the Father out of the depths of his suffering, as verse 4 says, that there might be forgiveness. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. So it is with us that without the Spirit of God, none of us could even approach unto God. We need the Spirit of God, which is none other than the Spirit of Christ, to uphold and sustain us, even as it did him in his intercession before the Father. Now the second point that I want us to see coming back to our text in Romans 8 and verse 26 is just what are those infirmities that often weigh us down and keep us from being able to pray or to seek the Lord as we ought. I'm sure that if any of us have lived long enough as God's children from the time of our conversion, that we can look back and see those times where indeed we have been helped by the Spirit of God through very difficult trials. Those times that even though we sought to pray, that heaven seemed to be as iron or brass. It seemed that God was far removed. Those times when, even though we know, as the scriptures say, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, and yet we seem not to be able to find any comfort in his work at the cross because of our sin. Those times that even as Peter said to you who believe, he is precious, and yet we cannot enter into the preciousness of Christ. He seems to have removed his presence from us.
Even
So what are those infirmities that even as God's children seem to cover or darken our eyes? We could spend the rest of our time talking about all these things that sum up our infirmities, but I'll just name three here because of time. The first one is because of our own ignorance in this flesh, that apart from the Spirit of God, we could not see Christ.
Wow.
David wrote in the Psalms, "So foolish was I and ignorant," he says, "I was as a beast before thee." See, that's where the Spirit brings us, to confess our own ignorance and our own darkness, and to see that only by the revelation of Christ through the Spirit could we ever truly worship. We are not of those that boast of our knowledge of God. We must confess and do confess that anything we know of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ is only by His grace through His Spirit. Can you see then why it's a good thing when God brings us into this frame of mind and heart, that we might know our own frailty, our own infirmity, apart from His grace? We can never take it for granted. But not only is our ignorance an infirmity, but secondly, I would have to say my own unbelief is an infirmity. We cannot even boast in what faith the Lord has given us. We have so much unbelief in this flesh that apart from the Spirit of grace, we would be just as evil and unbelieving as anybody out there. It's like the man who came beseeching our Lord and said unto Him, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Unbelief continues to be what this flesh is, and we will fight it all the days of our earthly life.
Usakurubirira kucha.
See, a lot of people like to look out and blame the world or blame the devil for their failings. But we carry about in this flesh our greatest enemy, and that is unbelief. It is like a dark cloud that hides the things of God that are clearly revealed and promised to His children. So it's in those times that the Lord purposes that we go through these moments of darkness, lest we should ever put any confidence even in our faith. But the third and final infirmity that I would confess even of myself is my own flesh. When it speaks here of infirmity, it's talking about our fallen flesh. We are fallen creatures. We fall because we're fallen. And no matter how much we know in our head that God is to be glorified and to receive all the glory and salvation, yet this flesh will always seek a reason why God should be merciful outside of Christ. It'll look for something in itself. We could go on and name other infirmities, but I believe these three sum up why it is that we need not only the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf, but we need the intercession of His Spirit to continually uphold us and keep us before the throne of grace. Well, we're going to pause there and, Lord willing, come back to this verse next time to see how it is that the Holy Spirit does intercede. We know that the Spirit of God never draws attention to Himself, but always draws our hearts out to Christ. So we'll look at that next time, how it is that the Spirit does intercede in our time of need. I'll turn it back to you.
Speechless am I, but thankful to God am I, because of the mysterious declaration, the preaching of the gospel that is very singular, pointing the sinners to Christ, the crucified one. What a comfort to be one of them.
Amen.